All right, James chapter 1, 13 through 15. Who'd like to read that one for us? James chapter 1, 13 through 15. Brother Jared, go right ahead. I find these verses very important when we're dealing with temptation, and that is what we are looking at, to understand what temptation is and how to deal with it. You ought to break down these, and that's what we're doing, trying to break down what is the temptation and how does it lead to sin. Brother Jared, go right ahead.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Okay, so first of all, as we covered this last night, verse 13, does God tempt with sin? No, he does not tempt with sin. So if we are being tempted by sin, where does it come from?
Not God.
Self or Satan. That is the reality. Self or Satan. So verse 14, very important to note here in verse 14. What is the process here? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, or as we see here, also replace, understand, lust is also here dealing with what? Desire. Okay, so right here, other times when we are dealing in context, when we are dealing with lust, it is sin. Here, it is not sin until it is what? Verse 15. Conceived or grabbed a hold. Now, why do I make that distinction? Because in verse 14, that's not when the sin enters in. And the reason I find this important is for us to know a little bit about, and I think, obviously, you know, attraction, maybe when teenagers have hormones, is it wrong to be attracted to the opposite sex? That was a tough one. Nobody really did that. No.
Oh, better be.
You better be. Who put that there? God put that there. There is nothing wrong with that desire. But temptation comes when you are drawn away, or you're drawn away of his own desire or lust, and then you are enticed towards that which is sin, to take that desire to a step that is outside of the order of God. I.e., example, physical relations outside of marriage. Easy for us to see. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, what is that conceived? Grabbed a hold of. You have allowed that lust to now control you. You have stepped into and allowed your lust to run your actions, your thought process. And then when that takes place, what happens? And when sin has conceived, it bringeth forth
death.
Sin, and then sin bringeth forth death. Okay. That is the process. That is how temptation takes place. Now, why is that important to know? I guess maybe don't, and I remember thinking this as a child, I don't know if it was ever taught. I remember thinking that my desires for the opposite sex as a child, that I always thought that that was wrong. That was not wrong. There's not wrong in that. So there are natural things that we need to know that are not wrong that God does put in us. And we got to just realize where that line is. And when we stand on doctrine, to hold on to that doctrine.
I think the simplicity of that, isn't it? Eve in the garden?
Yeah.
Because when was it a problem? When she acted.
When she acted upon it.
She being tempted?
Sure.
Absolutely. The enticing?
Yeah.
Satan?
Bang. Yeah.
So we have a physical example of that order. So yeah. It shouldn't be that difficult to see that. But we are told, keep our minds straight, think pure things.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't make provision.
Yeah. And where that's right where we are going. And Brother Nathan just kind of led to that. Before we get to that, Romans chapter 6, unless somebody else wants to try to move forward from this to understand now what to do with this and understand how this goes. It's Ronald.
Well, my background,
it was talking about in Genesis 3 and verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and the tree to be desired to make one rise. That actually, that thought was sin. Because now she's yielding to that lust.
Yeah.
So we so it started, see it in yes. her mind.
Yeah, and it started with
she,
the thought.
If she would have stopped there,
yeah.
the degree of punishment would have been less.
Yeah.
But because she went ahead and yielded to that and followed through with it, then now we have further consequences, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I think about, you read further David last night. So look at David. When he looked and saw Bathsheba on the roof and felt that lust there, he could have stopped.
Could have stopped.
He could have turned away. And that's, I think sometimes that's where we find ourselves in the trap of sin, because we don't understand what this temptation is and how the Lord has given us occasion to stop it.
Yeah. And that's a great point, and so I'm going to emphasize it. You better learn to stop it at the thought.
Yes.
Okay, you better learn to, and David is a great example, because, okay, maybe, and we're going to look at trying to prevent even those opportunities, make not provision for the flesh, but David walking on his roof was not the sin. Now, it would have been wise if he would have known and understand his culture and said, well, okay, this is the time for ladies to have baths. I don't want to subject myself to that. That would have been smart, but okay, can say it. But he was walking on there, and then the temptation hit. Is it wrong to have attraction for David to have towards a woman? No, but you know what? The moment that he said, okay, now I'm going to look. Now that it hit me, now the thought is, oh, I'm going to look at this.
Wow.
There's sin. That's when it took place. So the moment that you have, if you stumble upon and you see something that you shouldn't see, turn away. What is it? Joseph ran out, got out of there. That's the opportunity the Lord gives you to always, with the temptation, make a way for you to escape. So we need to recognize those and pay attention to those. And much of what we're going to be trying to get to today is dealing with how to deal with it and teach others how to deal with it at that moment. Brother Nathan.
And that's that. God's an orderly God. Even him explaining to us how we get into that situation of death, where's that drawing of the lust? We're drawn away.
Drawn
away. So we have that thought. We're conditioned, supposed to be conditioned to say, ooh, let it hit, great. Think about the Lord, think about the Lord. But if we don't, and we let that linger, that's that drawing away. Now we're starting to think about that. And I do believe that's where that heart, if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed. That's where we get into trouble. And we always teach this to the young people. Listen, you don't know about that fire.
You don't.
Stay away from it. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You don't know how strong you are, how weak you are. Don't even get close to that. When you're drawn away, it could be over for you. So stop it before it starts.
Absolutely. And so much of, well, we're going to get to it. That's exactly where we are going, as to how to learn how to deal with the temptations that are in this world. And there is a way to do it. And I don't know if it was in here. Some people think, well, it just hit me blindly. No, it didn't hit you blindly. It's because you were not paying attention. You had not prepared. You had not set yourself up for the battle that is in this world. That is the reality. All right. So let's go to take a look at Romans chapter 6. It's taking a slight step back to understand Romans chapter 6, 12 through 14. Who'd like to read that one for us? Romans 6, 12 through 14. Brother Christian, go right ahead.
Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments in the righteousness of the sin, but yield yourselves unto God and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments in righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law of grace.
We're going to have to keep going here, but verse 14 is where we're kind of, but go ahead and verse 15.
What then? Shall we sin?
And
because we are not under the law But under grace, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?
All right, so 14 and 16 is the one I want to, or 13 and 16 is the one I want to clue in on. Sin's not going to have dominion over you. We understand that. Sin does not have dominion over you. It does not have lordship or kingship to where you cannot resist sin or cannot reject sin. Now, the thing that I want to kind of little rabbit here on this, when we think about this, so those who are lost, does sin have dominion over them? Yes, they do. Does that now mean that they will always yield to every sin that is out there? No, right? So we got to understand what we're talking about. When we're dealing with dominion, dominion is control over. And when that control over, everything that you do is sin. It doesn't mean that every thought that comes into your mind, you're going to go after it and do whatever it might be. But now we're dealing with those that are saved. Sin does not have dominion over you, which means you will always have a choice. But the beware is this. Who you yield to is, what's that?
The servant.
It's who you are going to serve. That is a reality. If you yield to that flesh, if you yield to that sin, who are you a servant to?
Sin.
You are a servant to the sin. Doesn't mean that you can't get out of it. Doesn't mean that you can't repent, but you are a servant to it. I will tell you, you become a servant long enough, it is harder and harder and harder to get out.
Yeah.
So you better learn to stop it then. James chapter 4. Very important verses here. And thinking about resisting, about not yielding over to this sin, about learning what to do with this temptation. James chapter 4, 4 through 6, and we're going to read a couple others, but we're going to start with 4 through 6. Who'd like to read that for us? Brother Jax, go right ahead. 4 through 6.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he that giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Now, an important little aspect, I really want to kind of draw, pay attention to verse 14. Where you are matters. And what do I mean by that is, if you are going to side yourself towards the world, what's going to happen? You are an enemy of the Lord. So, and I try to draw the distinction like this, and I remember this and hearing people say something like this. Well, you know, I know the line for the Lord is right here where I am on the wrong side and on the right side. And so I'm going to be on the right side, but I'm going to go right here as close as I can to that line.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you do that, you're really not. There is no game there that you can play. So instead, the thought process should be, I'm going to get as close as I can to the Lord, as far away from that, no matter what. In other words, I am pointing, Matthew 6:33, I am pointing right towards the Lord in all that I do. If in your brain you say, well, I can do this and still be okay, what has happened? You have just now pointed the other direction. And you can play that game all you want, but the game doesn't go very well with God. You will lose every time. Okay? Because there is no such thing. The moment you say, well, I can compromise, well, what did you just did? You've just now decided I'm going to be a friend of the world. There is no fence to straddle. It is either one or the other. There is no compromise. It is black and white. Now, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, as we read these things, this one is a fairly common understanding, and rightly so. What should you do when you are tempted of the devil? Resist him. Now, I always like to, what's that? Submit to God. And I'm going to point it out here in the next verse, but you're right. But if your mentality is, I am just going to keep resisting, how long can you resist? Sister Amanda, what is it? Not very long. I was trying to think in these terms. Well, I can resist it. I'm just going to keep resisting. You are not going to last very long, because that's not the end of the statement. The end of the beginning of the statement is, yes, you need to resist. And when the immediate temptation is there, what do you do? Yes, you resist it. Yes, you stand against it. But verse 8 is extraordinarily important, and also the beginning of verse 7. But verse 8, draw nigh to God. Instead of just playing, well, I can resist this temptation. Well, you know I have an issue with drugs, and so now I'm going to go hang out with a party where I know drugs are going to be there, but I can resist. Well, you might for a little while, but if you're continually just trying to resist, what's going to happen? You're going to fail.
Sit in the barbershop long enough
to get hurt. That's a good one, right? So instead of just trying to resist, now you what? You draw nigh unto God. And that really comes down to a complete mindset change. And a thought process, I'm not going to dwell or continually think about the sin. I am now going to think towards the Lord. And I'm going to try to illustrate it this way. Many people try to quit smoking. The Bible doesn't teach against smoking. I don't care if you smoke, okay? I know that's a controversial position, okay?
It's unhealthy.
It's unhealthy. I don't think you should do it. Whatever. People that are always thinking about smoking and trying not to smoke, what are they doing?
Thank you.
They are trying to hold back a river. Failing. Instead, you should turn your mind to the Lord. And you give that thought process over to the Lord and change your brain to what? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So it literally is changing your mind and your direction toward the Lord and letting him deal with all the things that are too strong for you to deal with, because sin is too strong for me to handle. When I am faced with it, when it's right there, yes, I resist it. But what do I do with it? I just think there and worry about the resisting, and I better resist, and I got to resist now, and I got to keep resisting, and I got to keep fighting against it. You're going to fail. You have to turn and draw nigh to the Lord. How to do that? Ephesians chapter 4. Going right to Brother Nathan was jumping on here and talking about Ephesians chapter 4. 22 through 24. Who would like to read it? Brother Reagan, go right ahead. 22 through 24.
Then put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
And verse 28 as well.
Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Okay, So it's not just that we are not doing the bad things. It's that what? We are replacing it, or we are putting on the new man. We are putting on Christ. And that, you have to have that or you will lose in temptation. In other words, verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation. Should you put off the old lifestyle, the sinful man, the flesh? Yes, you do. But if that's where you stop, you will not succeed. What must you then do? Put on the new man. And you realize, hopefully we see this, it really is a turning away, a repenting, a turning away and turning towards that action of putting on Christ. Let him that stole steal no more,
but
rather what? Do the labor. Brother Christian.
Well, I think people, like, at least religion, misconstrues the verse Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ's strength. I can bend this nail. I can tear this book in half. That's not what God's talking about. So if you put him on, you can do these things. Because God is strength. Not because you have some loose, crazy power, ridiculousness. The world is, I don't know how to describe that, how they describe it, but I see a lot of folks bending nails and ripping toys.
Yeah. I wasn't going that direction, but yeah. What you put on, okay? It's not just enough that you resist sin, it's that you put things on, and we're going to continue with that. So go to Romans chapter 12.
Replace my coffee addiction with a Red Bull addiction. Ooh. That's what the world does with all these things. Oh, I'm going to stop doing this one thing that's bad for me, that's smoking, and then I'm going to replace it with something else that it's not adding anything to you. There's no spiritual benefit. You haven't added anything. You've traded maybe one vice for another.
Yeah.
This constant Christ too. It's just change up which vice they get stuck on.
Yeah. And I guess it's important to note when we're dealing with sin, yeah, you don't replace one sin with another sin. You replace what? You walked away from the sin and you put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which means you do those things that the Lord tells you to do. If you love me, my commandments, right? So how do we do this? A continuation of how do we do this? I find this so important. It's one of the things that I really try to emphasize because even, you know, I think it was Sister Ron, it begins in the mind. And if you are not aware of the fight and the war that goes on in your very mind, then you are not paying attention to the battle. And you know what happens to those that don't pay attention to the war that's going on around them? You lose. You will lose. So you better just realize that when you wake up in the morning, you're in a battle. Now, it's not a battle of, oh, it's an oppression, it's a hardship that I just can never win. It is a battle that actually is joy and ease with the Lord. What is it? 1 John chapter 5, his commandments are not grievous. They're not heavy. So it's not a battle like I'm always fighting this rock uphill, but it is a battle that you do need to wear, lies, and there is a way to wage it.
Excuse me. And that commandment, I don't think about the 11:28. That his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Why? Because when we're in yoke together with him, we don't have to fight alone. And that's why when we try to resist the devil on our own, we will lose our
life. Yeah.
And I'm afraid that as God's people, we just capsate.
Yeah.
We don't really, we might say he's real, but I don't know that we believe he's real.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you from the moment that I'm awake, even before I'm awake, he is after me. And if I don't understand that, and if I'm not prepared for the battle, as you said, with relying on the Lord, with relying on the scriptures, with replacing those thoughts of my flesh that the devil puts in front of me constantly, if I'm not replacing that with Philippians 4:8 about what certain things are honest, what certain things are pure, what certain things are just, I will lose every time.
Yes. Yeah. Now, right along with that, and I guess we'll plug it in right here. Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards what? The mark. Okay? Because the reality is the devil will drudge up the things that you have done up in your past. And he will bring them right up to your mind. And if you have asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, what should you do? If the Lord has forgiven you, what do you do with those? You let them go as well. If you have honestly gone to the Lord and he has forgiven you, then when those things hit your brain, push them away and said, you know what? I already repented of the Lord and the Lord has forgiven me. I do not have to let them control me and think about them, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, again, I have to put this out there. If you have not repented to the Lord, then that's the thing that you have to do. But if you have, then let the Lord's forgiveness rule. Matthew 6, think not on the morrow. Sufficient unto the day or the evil thereof. So where does that leave you?
Today.
Today? Yeah. What you're dealing with right now? Quit worrying about too much of tomorrow. Quit worrying about too much in the past. We are in the battle right now. You're dealing with right now. You're living with right now. So don't be overcome by the past. And don't be overcome by the worries of the future. Deal with what is right now. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Who'd like to read that one for us? How'd you actually do this? Sister Caitlin, go ahead. Okay. Obviously, we can get into verse 1, but I'm going to focus on verse 2. Be not what?
Conformed
to this world, but what do you have to do? Be transformed. Where? By the renewing of your mind. By what you think about. By what enters into your mind. And this is the real battle as you go along. If I am depressed, and depression is a real thing, if I am depressed, where is my mind?
Going in the gutter.
Carnal things, usually me, I cannot handle this woe. It has its root in selfishness. It's a real thing. It does happen. People get depressed. You have to learn the teachings of the Lord. Because what is? What does the Lord teach? Should I be thinking always about me? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Whatsoever things are just, think on these things. So it literally is where I put my mind. And when does that happen? When I wake up. I encourage people to do this. The first thing that you do when you wake up should be what? Turn your brain to the Lord. Pray. I don't care if you're laying in your bed and you're just waking up. You ought to be praying to the Lord, which means you ought to focus your, turn your mind over to the Lord. Throughout the day, when your brain turns to the flesh, and it will, what do you need to do? Turn it back. And that is a continual marathon run. It is not an impossible run. In fact, you continue to do that, you will find that your life is so much easier. And that this world is actually, even though all the garbage around it is real, and pay attention to politics, it's real. In all of the storm, here I am walking with the Lord, and he has my hand. And how much easier it is to go through this life.
No.
Oh, you were swallowed up.
Yes.
Psalms 1. We can look at another one. Sister Rhonda referenced ones earlier, but I find this so important, and we're going to use this one. Psalms 1. And who would like to read Psalms 1 and verse 2? Brother Jared, go right ahead.
But it delights in the law of the Lord, and his law is to meditate day and night.
Okay, so what should he do? Meditate. So we're all going to get into the lotus position and learn our chakra. We're going to learn our chakra. Is that what it's talking about? What does it mean to meditate?
Deep
focus.
To think on. And how often should you do that?
All the time.
Day and night. In what?
Word.
In the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you know where your brain should be and what you should be turning your brain to?
Just the Old Testament law.
The law of God. What are the doctrines of God? You want to know something good to think about? I would start thinking, what does it mean to love? The worldly love, not the Twitter pated and the you know, those of you like Bambi or the ushy gushy kind of love. No, what does it mean to actually love? What did God do when he upheld a standard? He upheld a judgment. And he upheld. So what does that love actually mean? That is a great thing to meditate on, to think about, and to understand, and try to learn the ins and outs of how God actually showed forth love and what that means in upholding the standard. Well, there's just one doctrine that we could be thinking about. Brother Nathan.
Did the light and the law, oh, how love I thy law, you know, where's your heart at when it comes to God's word? Why is it that you're not in it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, take a look at self and some of these things. And I always think of, for me anyways, Daniel and Ezra, where it talks about they prepared themselves, they chastised him, they sought, he prepared his heart to seek the law of God. Do we even desire it? Is that something that we crave and we want in this way of Psalms? Because he was very passionate and spirit through about God's word. Because you're, what are you going to meditate on if you don't care for it?
Yeah.
So it's a heart issue.
It is a heart issue. Yeah, what do I actually want? Sure.
I think about meditating day and night. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 is like a perfect example of it. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them while thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's literally not a part of the day when you're not supposed to be talking about it, thinking about it.
You're thinking about it. That's your world is wrapped around God. Literally.
His word's not the main thing for your life.
It is your life. Now, why in the world am I bringing this up? In dealing with temptation, you should be learning this now because you will be tempted later. And if you are not prepared in this manner by where your heart is, what your mind is thinking about, what you are dealing with, and what you are allowing in your mind to rule your thoughts, whether it is of this flesh, and you're going to go over Romans chapter 8 today, a little bit about that flesh. Walking in the Spirit is simply what I allow my mind to dwell on. And if I am thinking and dwelling on this flesh, do not be surprised when you are overtaken by sin. Don't say, wow, I wonder how that happened. I will tell you how that happened, is you have not prepared yourself. You are walking through this world blind. Did I see a hand? Yes, Brother.
Well, Matthew chapter 4, his what, temptation of the devil. It wasn't that he was God. It was, he literally just quoted scriptures.
Read it. I'm going to match the next one. Matthew 4:4. That's the exact next one on my list. Read it. Matthew 4:4. Make your point.
But he answered and said, it is written.
How did he resist? Now, God could have done it any other way because he is God. But that is a teaching for you and I, because what do you think, and just, you know, pretty obvious, what do you think Jesus Christ was thinking about for all of his life? Meditating towards God. His heart is towards God. His heart is on the word of God. In his mind is the word of God, and in the law of the Lord. Who do you think Jesus was meditating upon? The law of the Lord. That's what he meditated day and night. And when the temptation hit, he wasn't, well, I'm just going to resist because I have the ability to resist. No, he learned the law of the Lord and he said, no, because God said this. Brother Jerry.
And you see the difference, but spiritual. In his flesh, he had eaten in a long time. He was exhausted. He was beaten down, but that had nothing to do with his spiritual. Spiritually, he was strong. Flesh was weak. So it really doesn't matter where you're at. Oh, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. No, it doesn't matter when you're spiritually minded. The flesh, it doesn't. You don't care about that. You're not thinking about that. You're only spiritually minded because, yes, Jesus was hungry. He wanted food, but he still had no problem spiritually because spiritually he was strong. And it had nothing to go there.
And when we think about Brother Dale's class, how were those martyrs able to do it? It wasn't that on the day of their trial, they suddenly became strong in the Lord. No. Those are the ones that signed the, what was it, the pagan, whatever that was. But if you have your mind today, and this is your life, when those things hit, do you think the Lord can give you the strength to overcome them? And I do phrase it that way, the Lord giving you the strength to overcome them, because I don't think those martyrs, true martyrs, really did it of themselves. They did it because they knew their Lord, and that was more important than the flesh, Sister Robin.
Oh. Even during Brother Dale's class, I couldn't help but be thinking that these people were still in the flesh.
Yeah.
I'm certain that when they were faced with the threat of death, it wasn't that they all of a sudden had superpower and weren't afraid or there was no fear. It was the fact that their spiritual condition was strong enough to overcome those thoughts of the flesh, because those are real thoughts that we are going to have in our sinful flesh.
Yeah.
But when we feed the spirit can overcome the flesh. It's not that the flesh disappears.
Yeah.
It's that the spirit is strong enough, as Romans chapter 6 and 7 said, to overcome the flesh.
And James chapter 4, God giveth more grace. I 100% believe that when they were faced with it, you think none of them wanted that. I wouldn't want that. But God giveth grace, because there is something greater than this flesh. Now, we're going to end. Did I miss a hand anywhere? Psalms 119. Have a couple more verses, but we're gonna kind of hit them in other spots. But Psalms 119 here. Going specifically with Brother Nathan was talking about earlier. 9 through 11. Who would like to read Psalms 19, 9 through 11? Brother Jax, go ahead. 9 through 11.
Well, little shall a young man counsel way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Okay, so many things in there. Make your world about the word of God. Make your world about Jesus Christ. With your whole heart. What does that leave out?
Nothing.
Well, I'm just going to keep this little bit over here where I can do my own little thing and have my little piece, because, I want my little piece of this world here. And that's where I'll give everything else to the Lord, but I'm going to keep this little bit over here. How does that work? It doesn't.
It goes back to Ananias and his private.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really has to be your whole heart. And now, hopefully you understand, if you make the Lord your whole heart, does he give you the desires of your heart? It's what he says he does. Now, he will change my desire over to all that is him. I always like the, I don't know where it's at, but it is for my good always. Do you remember where that verse is? That just jumped in my brain and I forgot. It's in Deuteronomy. He does these things for our good always. I'll have to look at that verse.
Deuteronomy 6:24.
Read it.
And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day.
So that when we understand that, all the things that the Lord has for us, sometimes we think it's in opposition to us. Well, I have to do this and I have to do that and I got to make sure this happens because I got to. No, it is everything in there is for our good. It is for our good. Even when I don't realize that it is my good. Questions, comments?
I've got one comment that I was going to say when you were back in Matthew 4.
Okay.
So I just read down to Matthew 6 and 7 where the devil then again tempted him, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And then he quotes scripture to Jesus, who then turns around and rebukes him using scripture.
Yeah.
So the devil knows scripture.
Sure he does.
And he's going to use it to his advantage.
Yeah.
But I just...
And when you realize it, it's taken out of context.
Yeah, exactly.
It's taken
exactly.
It's taken wrong. Okay? So will there be temptation that people use? They'll use the Bible to justify their actions? Yeah. Which means you better know your Bible. You better realize the context. That's why Brother Cooper is always hounding on context and Brother Nathan's class. Yeah, you ought to know it. Know the scriptures. Did I miss a hand? Brother Christian, go ahead.
There,
so we stand up, Brother Nathan.
Jude chapter 9. Or Jude 9.
Jude chapter 9. I was wondering how that worked, but okay. Wonder about you people in Primeville anyways.
Because yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he just spewed down the body of Moses. It's not against him a really accusation, but said the Lord rebuked.
You realize, yes, it is the Lord's final.
It really is the Lord's.
Brother Nathan.
All righty. Let's see here.